Tell us about your memorable wins, big or small, when you entered a raffle. Because imagine if you spent just a little over 500 rand and received in return a house, a business, a lump sum in cash, plus the opportunity to start afresh in a new country. It might sound like a ridiculous pipe dream, but that is actually a real offer made by an Australian business owner who has put on the table this quite unusual method of selling her business and her home. Now, her name is Natalie Gemelli. She's a mother of two from Queensland and is the owner of the Yappa Valley Pet Resort. Since it opened a couple of years ago, it's earned a solid reputation as one of the top animal boarding kennels in the state of Queensland. But Natalie is ready to move on and focus on another business. She's been finding it difficult to sell the Yappa Valley Pet Resort and attached property the traditional way, and she's come up with a novel alternative. She is offered 40,000 tickets, capped at 40,000, at a cost of $55 Australian each. And it's effectively a raffle with the biggest prize I've ever heard of waiting at the end for that lucky ticket holder. I'm delighted to have Natalie Gemelli on with the line with us now from Australia to tell us more about why she's doing it this way and how much interest there's been. Natalie, thanks so much for chatting to us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Tell us a little bit first of all about why you're selling. If this is such a wonderful property and a thriving business, why are you moving on?
So basically, while we've been here, we've been really lucky. We've had our two sons and we've basically been with them since they've been born now, and we've developed a new passion. So we're going into the goat industry to look at developing a line of beauty products and soaps. Mm-hmm. And basically, the passion has just grown that much that we really want to start full-time now.
Okay, so you need to hand the pet resort over to a new owner. Along with the pet resort comes a big chunk of land and your family home. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, tell us a little bit more about what the offer actually includes, Natalie.
Yeah, so it's 110 acres of land, and we have a four-bedroom, two-bathroom home that's only 3 years old on that. But then we also have the Yappa Valley Pet Resort business. So basically that comes with staff, so we'll pay for the staff wages for a month, as well as all the equipment that anyone's going to need to run that, as well as $30,000 in cash in Australian dollars.
Okay, so the big question I'm sure many people are asking is how valuable is that business? Is it a going concern? Is it a profitable business? Are you able, for example, to produce the books of the business to show potential new owners?
Yes, so it is profitable. We're not producing the books for people just because we don't want to compromise, obviously, the future owners' confidentiality, I guess, but it is profitable. So that's all worked out into the price that we're advertising that it's worth. So that's all done by an accountant.
Okay. Now, you did initially try the traditional route of selling the property. Why didn't that work, Natalie? What was it about the property or the price or the market at the moment that made you unable to find a buyer the usual way?
Yeah, so basically we did have it on the market briefly and we had a lot of interest. Lots of people were really interested, but they just couldn't come up with the deposit. So because it's a rural block as well as commercial, the bank requirements over here is a lot higher, so they need such a big deposit that it's just not viable for people to actually save that much money to get into their own business and house.
Okay, at what point did you come up with the idea of doing it this very different way, and what inspired the concept?
Yeah, so we looked at, we come across actually an article from a couple, an Australian couple as well, who are selling a Micronesian resort in a very similar fashion. So we just thought that was a really interesting idea. And the more we looked into it, we thought, wow, that's, you know, that could work out really well for somebody. And it gives somebody the chance, you know, to have something that they wouldn't normally be able to have. And we just thought it's such a win-win situation for everyone that we'd be silly not to.
Okay, let's talk about the numbers, Natalie. You're offering 40,000 tickets at $55, which means if you sell the full complement, you'll earn a little over $2 million Australian. The property's valued at over $1.5 million. Is the difference going to be entirely profit, or have you set the bar that little bit higher to fund the cost of running this raffle, essentially?
Yeah, exactly. So basically, that's to cover the cost. So as we've never done this before, that's the absolute like highest point kind of thing. But it's all going to go towards taxes and lawyer fees and marketing and advertising fees.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned lawyer's fees. Are you quite happy that the way you're going about this is compliant with all laws in Australia, that there's nothing questionable about the nature of the transaction you're proposing?
Oh, yes, 100% yes. No, we would definitely wouldn't have gone ahead unless we got the okay from the lawyer.
Okay, so a lawyer has vetted it. Okay, the big question, though, is, Natalie, what happens if you don't manage to sell all 40,000 tickets? Don't you risk then having to hand over your property to the winning ticket for a fraction of the value?
No, so basically if we don't sell the 40,000, then there is a consolation prize. So basically whoever wins will then take home half of all the images that we sell. So all of the money that we make, they'll take home half.
Okay, so there's a plan B if you don't manage to sell them all. How confident are you that you are going to manage to sell the lot? I don't know if you're prepared to tell us yet how much interest you've had, how many tickets are already gone?
We've had a really, really great response to it. So it's just basically, it's taken off in Australia. People are really interested in it. We're not releasing ticket numbers just yet, but we've still got another 12 weeks to go as well. So we're pretty confident that we're going to get it.
And you say great, great interest in Australia. Have you had interest from international buyers as well? And secondly, have you had people buying more than one ticket at a time?
Yes, we have. So yes to both questions. So we've had a lot of people we've only just opened it up internationally. So we had a lot of people basically begging us to make sure that they're compliant with all the laws and the terms and conditions, obviously. So yeah, that's the reason why we looked into changing the competition to make it available outside of Australia.
Okay, so you're not prepared to give us numbers yet, but you're fairly confident you're going to make it. You said 12 weeks to go. What's the closing date for someone to buy a ticket, Natalie?
So the 23rd of September, and then it's drawn the following day.
Okay, so sales close on the 23rd. The draw itself happens on the 24th of September. How soon after that can transfer happen and the new owner take occupation of their property?
So basically it depends on the person. So as quickly as they want to move, we can move. So it all depends on obviously where they come from and what they want to do. So.
Okay. One last question on our SMS line. Natalie, somebody asked you, please just explain a little bit more what is meant by a pet resort. It's really a boarding kennel on a luxury scale, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So basically we look after people's dogs and cats when they go on holiday. So they drop them here. We've got 24 cabins for the dogs that are all air-conditioned with TV. We've also got a big kennel-run building, and we've got a cattery as well.
Okay, Natalie Jamelli, thanks so much for chatting to us, and good luck to you with the remaining 12 weeks, and maybe we can touch base again on the 24th of September to talk about how it all ended.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Natalie Jamelli, the owner of the Yapa Valley Pet Resort, on the line there from Queensland, Australia. And I'm intrigued to hear how interested you are in the particular raffle we're talking about today. Are any of you tempted to buy a ticket to try and win yourself a property with a house and a going business in Queensland, Australia, plus $30,000 Australian dollars to go with it? Well, let's have a little conversation about whether you can or should enter that raffle. I thought I'm intrigued about the legal ramifications for South Africans. So we reached out to a lawyer to help talk to us about any potential hidden side effects and ramifications. Delighted to welcome on the line with us Dani Strachan, who's a partner at Adams and Adams Law Firm. Dani, thanks so much for joining us today. Welcome.
Hi, Pippa.
Tell me, first of all, this is effectively a raffle. Would it be legal for South Africans to enter it?
Yes, this is a raffle, but let's sort of categorize it within South African legal terms. So in South African legal terms, this is a lottery. So we have the Lotteries Act, which is policed by the Lotteries Commission. Mm-hmm. And a lottery essentially has three key aspects. You enter, and for that entry you pay in order to win a prize. And whether or not you win depends on luck or chance. So it's a lucky draw. So in other words, a typical lottery, you buy an entry, you might win the prize if they spin the wheel and your number is chosen. That's sort of, those are the three key elements. If any of those elements are lacking, it's not a lottery that's governed by the Act. So, for example, if I get a free entry and my name is drawn and I win a car, then it's not a lottery because there's no subscription. The Act talks about subscription. And lotteries come from Roman times. It's quite an old concept.
Really?
It's been banned and allowed and banned over centuries. Queen Elizabeth used it, I think, to fund some huge project at some stage. That was Queen Elizabeth I, not the current one.
Wow.
So they are quite old. Yes, so if and typically in a lottery, you have a pool of money which is used to either pay out to the participants or to fund the prize.
Yeah.
So governments normally don't really just want to allow people to just hold lotteries and participate in gambling, so they bring out laws to regulate these things. In South Africa, you can only run a lottery legally if you have authority from the Lotteries Commission. So the National Lotto that we see on TV on Fridays and on Wednesdays, that's obviously authorized. But the Act says you cannot organize or participate in a lottery unless it's authorized by the Act. So technically that means that if you participate in a foreign lottery, if it is a lottery, you are breaching the law if you're sitting in South Africa and you're participating in another lottery. So technically speaking, we're not allowed to do that because that lottery is obviously not authorized by our Lotteries Commission here. I think many people do this and they buy tickets in foreign lotteries. It's obviously difficult for local authorities to police this, but it happens. Also, interestingly enough, the Reserve Bank's manual also says that you're not allowed to use your credit card to buy an entry in a foreign lottery.
Okay.
Now, the interesting one with this specific raffle that we're talking about is that, if I understand the marketing material correctly, you do not buy an entry into the raffle. You buy a photo, and then you get an entry into the raffle. So I'm assuming that that's how they've tried to structure it under Australian law, and I don't know how Australian lottery and raffle laws work because obviously each country has its own laws, but I think that's probably how they're trying to argue that this is allowed. I'm just not sure. I have my doubts. I mean, I'm not sure if you're buying a photo here or whether you're buying an entry. If you're buying an entry and you're paying money for it, and you hope that chance will choose you and you win the prize, that whole scheme I don't think will pass muster under South African law. So people will have to make up their own minds to decide whether they want to participate or not, but I doubt whether this would be legal under our law.
Okay, so a couple of red flags there. Anything else you'd add to the list of concerns, Donnie, for those who might be considering it?
Well, all sorts of other issues come up. I mean, this is quite an interesting new way to try and sell your property. I know it's been done a couple of times in the UK, and the commission in the UK has stopped a number of these competitions. So you might end up losing money just because you bought a ticket. But if you do win, let's think about this. If you buy a house normally, you'll have a proper sale contract that will contain guarantees and provisions relating to defects in the house. So if you just win this property and there's something wrong with it, for example, how do you sue? It's not like a normal sale agreement where you can sue and say there were termites, you know, in the roof or something wrong with the foundations. Yeah, you just won a prize. Obviously, you pay less, I suppose, than what you would normally pay for a property, but you still run that risk. If you get this for free, you know, as a prize, you wouldn't pay tax on that because it's a fortuitous gain. No one knows whether or not you're going to win this. But once you sell it one day, you're going to be taxed one way or the other on that income, either as a capital gain or as income, depending on how your tax situations work. So people should be careful of these raffles. They're not always legal. Everyone thinks that they're legal, especially sort of these typical ones that are run by charities. There are very strict rules for those to be legal. Otherwise, you might bump into the authorities one day.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because if you cannot run a lottery of this kind without legal authorization, what about the umpteen school raffles where you can buy a 2 rand ticket and win a hamper full of chocolates? Technically, that sounds like that's not really legal.
They are not really legal, and that's why many schools actually have proper authorization. They have those lotteries registered with the Lotteries Commission, and there are strict rules that you have to follow, and the lottery has to approve it before you can run it. But many schools take the chance, pun intended, and they run these lotteries hoping that they won't get into trouble. But I'm aware of a number of schools, and I've been to meetings with a number of these schools where the Lotteries Commission has visited them and told them, well, you cannot do this. You have to do the following if you want to make this legal, or otherwise you'll have to stop. So one mustn't think just because it's for a school or for animal anti-cruelty or something that you're allowed to do this. There are only specific situations within which you can actually do this legally, and it's probably a topic for another discussion, but people should be aware of this.
I'd love to have a longer length conversation with you in future about that, Donnie. Thanks. Let's just bring in our listener. Norman's given us a call from Somerset West with a question about the particular situation we're discussing. Norman, good afternoon.
Hi, Pippa. Question for your guest. You made the observation that participating in a foreign lottery is a criminal offence. But what happens if you're in the country in which the lottery is conducted, because you're there on holiday visiting family perhaps, and you choose to buy a lottery ticket while you're there? Where does that put you in terms of the law?
Interesting question, Norman. Donnie, what's the answer?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Yeah, so if you're in another country and what you're doing there is legal, it's fine under those countries' laws. But if you participate from here in South Africa, your participation takes place here, and then you are participating in a lottery that is not legal. Obviously, each country has its own jurisdictions. Some offences attach to you as a citizen of the country, so wherever you commit them, you would be breaking South African law. But that might be a technicality that you could use to say, well, I didn't enter from South Africa.
I was in that country at the time.
Yeah.
Conversely, somebody asking on the WhatsApp line, what about if an overseas visitor wins our local lotto? Can they just take all the winnings home with them?
I'm not quite sure what our lotto's rules say. Some of the lotteries say that foreign people cannot participate and vice versa. So, you know, it's quite clever. I can't sit in South Africa and participate in the UK lottery, although people do that. But technically speaking, you're not allowed to do that. But yes, foreigners, I think they could buy a ticket here. I'm not sure if their country's laws would allow it. I'm not sure what the fine print in our national lottery's terms and conditions says, whether you can win that. I would suspect that you could.
Let's wrap up our conversation with Donnie Strachan, a partner in the law firm Adams & Adams. We've been talking about raffles, or to give them their proper technical name, lotteries, as they're viewed in South Africa. And a few people worried about what Donnie said about the fact that technically you shouldn't be entering foreign lotteries, although it's difficult to police. Francois is on the line from Cape Town. I believe you often enter international competitions, Francois.
Yeah, I do. And I've been doing so for quite a few years. There's this one called Play Huge Lottos, and you sort of enter to the Spanish, Super Ina, and all these kind of lotteries, and the American ones. You know, I've been playing them for long. They've been in contact with me. I mean, it all seems legit. So are they actually illegal? Is that what this gentleman is saying?
Donnie, any feedback for Francois there?
Well, the lotteries that you might be participating in might be lawful wherever they are held. So in many countries, you know, they're much less strict regarding lotteries, and the lotteries might be legal where they are. But technically speaking, from South Africa, if you're in South Africa, you can only participate in a lottery that has been authorized by the Lotteries Commission. So your participation might have gone well so far, but if the authorities want to pick up on this, and if they want to take steps, they might take steps. And I am aware that many people, as I've mentioned earlier, you're not allowed to use your credit card to participate in foreign lotteries. I am definitely aware of a number of people that have been taken to task by the Reserve Bank. They've picked up those transactions on people's credit card statements and written to them to ask for explanations.
Okay, Donnie, it's been a really interesting conversation, and I hope it's one we can continue at a later date. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Final word to our listeners, going back to the original lottery we were talking about and that offer of the Australian house and land and business, etc. Would you take the risk of buying a ticket?
I'm a law-abiding citizen. If I'm in doubt as an attorney, I would rather not risk it. But people can take the chance if they want to, I suppose. I wouldn't take a chance on breaching the law, though.
Donnie Strachan, great to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Partner at Adams & Adams Law Firm, and a very enlightening conversation. Still lots of you telling us about the things you've won in competitions, raffles and others. Hazel in Grassy Park says, I often take raffles, especially when I attend the non-profit organization events of the support group I belong to. I am always, or should I say most times, lucky enough to win a prize. As most of the prizes are donated, I say I am blessed to win. Hazel goes on to say, from beautiful ornaments to flowers to large, beautiful, sumptuous chocolate mousse cakes, etc. I even won a beautiful painting, which now graces the home of my daughter in Johannesburg. Lucky her that you passed it along, Hazel, and may the luck continue. What's the saying? May the odds odds be ever in your favor? It sounds like they are already. Another message from Ingrid in Monte Vista, who tells me a few years ago, I won a weekend away at a guest house in Mariesburg. How lovely. 2 years ago, I won a holiday to Mauritius, sponsored by TravelStart on Facebook. I think I'm quite lucky. I've won prizes on Cape Talk as well. I only enter competitions which are free, she says. I don't believe in spending money to win anything, but my husband does the lotto, although he's never won anything.